Hey friends, if you'll find your way back to your seat and put a hand on your Bible, either your Bible or one in the pew, and let's remain standing as we hear God's Word proclaimed together. From John's Gospel, the 11th chapter. From John's Gospel, the 11th chapter, beginning at verse 1. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." And when he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." And now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for two more days. And then we'll jump a little bit in the story to verse 17. Now on his arrival, Jesus finally did make the journey to Bethany. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and to Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. And when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." Let's pause there and pray together. Gracious God, I'm thankful that we do not live by bread, by human nourishment alone. I'm thankful that we live by every word that comes to us from your mouth. So open today our ears, our minds, our hearts, that we could receive and live in your living word, who is Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can take a seat. Football fans, maybe you remember this. Just a few years ago, it was a Monday night football game, January 2023, and the ball game stopped. One player on the field, a young safety for the Buffalo Bills, Damar Hamlin. Hamlin made what looked like a routine tackle, and he stood up, he took a step, and then he collapsed. And within seconds, you could see it, and you could feel it. Nothing was normal. Players started motioning, waving for help. The trainers rushed onto the field, and then the cameras pulled back and panned away because you realized something different was happening. Right there on the field, they began CPR, and millions of people watching on television and in the stadium, nobody suddenly cared about the game anymore. The players are dropping to their knees. You can see grown men crying and the opposing teams interlocking arms, standing together. And all across the country, there were people who were praying. Because everyone watching knew this. This wasn't about fixing something. This was life or death in that moment. It was life or death. And suddenly the unexpected happened. Against all expectation, his heart started beating again. There are moments in time like this where you don't need a little quick fix. You don't need a measured improvement. What you need is life. What you need is life. And John chapter 11, the scripture we just shared, John chapter 11, this is y'all, it's the resurrection before the resurrection. Jesus is walking into a moment just like this. Not a situation that needs to be managed or tweaked, but a life that is gone. And Jesus comes with a different answer. Jesus doesn't just fix dead things. He doesn't come with repair. Jesus comes to bring life and to be life. Jesus doesn't just fix dead things. He calls them back to life. Now we see this, John 11, Jesus got the message. Mary and Martha and Lazarus, this family grouping, two sisters and a brother, they were part of Jesus' inner circle. They weren't among the 12 disciples, the 12 apostles, but they were maybe in the next circle out. These were some of Jesus' closest personal friends. Jesus was a regular visitor to this town, Bethany, outside Jerusalem. He was a regular guest in their home. And Jesus got the message, Lazarus is sick. Your friend, your buddy, your go-to. Lazarus is sick. Jesus got the message, but he did not go. He did not drop everything. He did not get on the road in that moment. And that was, let's be honest, that was ridiculously confusing to everyone there. Just like life can sometimes be ridiculously confusing to us. Y'all, there are at least three people who are experiencing different kinds of death here. As the disciples are gathered before Jesus made the trip to Bethany, one of Jesus' disciples is there. There's chatter there. They knew how Jesus loved Lazarus, and they're scratching their heads, and they're wondering why Jesus doesn't make the trip so quickly. So there's chatter, there's talk back, there's conflict brewing, even within that little band of faithful disciples. Faithful disciples, question mark. You see, they had been near Bethany recently. They knew how the pressure was growing on Jesus, how there were whispers and threats against His life. And so when Jesus finally says, okay, the time is right, let's travel to Bethany near Jerusalem. Thomas, why was it always Thomas? So honest and so forthright. Thomas, verse 16, Thomas says, mutters almost to the other disciples, let us go also to Bethany that we could die with Jesus. Let us all go there. It's not bold faith that Thomas displays. It's sort of a quiet resignation. A quiet resignation, almost like he throws up his hands and shrugs. And I think that's the death some of us live right now. We don't live with our doubts expressed loudly. We don't walk away from church with some grand and big announcement. We just slowly stop expecting God to do anything. We just slowly stop expecting God to do anything. And like Thomas, we can find ourselves dead in our own doubts. Like Thomas, we can find ourselves dead in our own doubts. Don't get me wrong. You still sit in the pews. Sometimes you sing the songs. But when somebody talks about God did this or God is moving or I know God answered my prayer, you kind of sit there and say, well, good for you. But that's not where I'm able to live right now. When someone says, pray about this, you think, yeah, right. I've done that before. You've seen too much. You've been disappointed too many times, and your faith has shifted subtly from expectation to survival. I don't think you've really lost your faith, but you've lost your expectation. And notice this, as Jesus continues with the disciples, as Jesus continues with Thomas, even though Thomas expresses this, let's be clear, Jesus does not boot him out of the band. Thomas says, yeah, we're going to all die together. It's awful. Jesus doesn't boot him out. He walks alongside him. He doesn't excommunicate him. He doesn't temporarily remove him from the 12, the inner circle. He doesn't put him in timeout. Jesus, yeah, some of y'all know you need to be in timeout, right? I'm not talking about your kids. Jesus doesn't put him in timeout. Jesus continues to walk and to speak. Jesus reaches for his head for what he's thinking, and Jesus also reaches for his heart. Because let's be honest, a lot of our doubt, it's not about how we've analyzed, it's about how we haven't taken account of what we're feeling deeply. Because Jesus doesn't just fix the doubt, he speaks directly and calls the doubt back to life. He doesn't just fix the doubt, he calls the doubters back to life. And that's Thomas, but y'all look at Mary and look at her discouragement after the death of her brother. Things are a little bit different for the sisters of Lazarus. For Thomas, with the disciples, with Jesus on the road, for Thomas, death was still an idea. It was something abstract, a distant threat. But for Mary and Martha, it was real. They had already seen their brother breathe his last breath, and they had already wrapped and placed his body in the tomb. And when Jesus arrives, finally, right, did he check his calendar or his watch? When Jesus finally arrives in Bethany, yeah, we get this note, verse 20. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Y'all, isn't that discouragement speaking? Mary stayed at home. That's what discouragement does. It just makes you want to withdraw and shut down. If Thomas was dead in his doubts, then Mary is dead in her discouragement. And discouragement doesn't always look that dramatic. Sometimes it just looks like I'm not showing up. I'm not going to answer the call or the message. And in that discouragement, you once engaged and you suddenly pull away. You used to try, but now you've pulled back. And maybe there's a relationship and you've just stopped trying to find a fix. Or maybe as a parent, you feel like everything's gone too far and you've just given up. You've already failed. Or maybe in your faith, you know you need to say something to God, but you just can't find the words. And so you're content to be silent. And you just stay home. Discouragement, y'all see this for Mary and see that possibility for your heart or maybe the heart of somebody you love. Discouragement doesn't explode. It implodes. It slowly shuts you down. For some people, it means you were angry or you're mad at God. But for some people, it just means you're tired. You're worn out. You're ground down by life. And you're tired of hoping and tired of trying and tired of believing things could ever be different. And it's right here. Y'all, it's right here again in the Scripture. What does Jesus do? What does Jesus do with Mary in her discouragement? He doesn't scold Mary, but he goes to her. When Mary reached the place, this is verse 32, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was, and when she saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And when Jesus saw her weeping, he was deeply moved, and he was troubled in spirit, and he wept. Jesus wept. He didn't weep because she was discouraged. He wept because he got alongside her and he felt with her. And he came close to her. He doesn't weep at Mary, he weeps with Mary. Because Jesus doesn't just fix broken hearts, he comes with life to bring them back to life. He doesn't just fix the problem, he brings life and restores the broken heart. Thomas in his doubts, Mary in her discouragement. How about Martha? Martha. And the delay, maybe the sharpest indictment that Jesus had to face, the sharpest accusation from anyone who was close to him. Martha, if anything else, Martha was direct. She didn't dance around the problem. Verse 21, "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, you can almost see her finger pointing at him. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." That's a kind of faith. It's a kind of faith. But it's a faith that wants to hold on to the outcome. Martha wants the thing that Jesus offers, but Martha wants to own the way it works out in her life. And so Martha's deadness comes out of this delay. The thing she wanted was a good thing, but it didn't come in the way she thought. And it might be, I mean, let's be straight. This might be the most honest statement to God ever made in the Bible. Lord, if you had been here. You ever prayed a prayer that honest? Lord, if you had, fill in the blank with your own place of pain or of doubt or of discouragement or of delay. The thing you're asking for, it's a good thing. If you had been here, I wouldn't be carrying this diagnosis. If you had been here, my kid wouldn't be where they are right now. If you had been here, I would not feel as alone as I felt when I woke up this morning on Easter. Delay is where faith starts asking real questions and hard questions. Because delay, let's be real, delay feels like absence. Delay feels like absence, and absence feels like maybe Jesus just doesn't care for where we're living and what we're experiencing. Absence, delay feels like absence, and absence feels like maybe Jesus doesn't care. But here's what we discover. Here's what we discover when we let ourselves just sit with Martha for a moment and we linger with her and recognize that the delay was real, but the delay does not represent an absence of love. Jesus' delay is real, but it's never a lack of love because Jesus doesn't just show up on my time or my clock or Martha's time or Martha's calendar. But when he does show up, he shows up with life. Whether it's doubt or discouragement or delay, different faces, different experiences, the same reality. Something in us has started to die. But Jesus doesn't fix dead things. Jesus doesn't fix dead things. He brings them back to life. So the question is not, do you believe Jesus can help you in an abstract sense? The question is, do you believe He can bring life to the places you've already given up on? And the hardest part is not just what we're facing, it's what we've started to believe about God in the delay. It's not the problem of delay, it's not the problem of the discouragement anymore. It's what we start to believe about God during that time of delay. Because that's what makes this story so important to us. It's what makes this story really a prefiguring of the whole Easter story, the resurrection story, and it's what's so easy to misunderstand. Can we go all the way back to almost the beginning of chapter 11? Now, there was a man named Lazarus, all the introductions, Bethany, village of Mary, and sister Martha, and this was all of the good detail. And you almost skip over this verse 5. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Y'all, that's the key to the whole thing. If you don't see that and take that into account, it's the key. It'll mess up not only the reading of this story, it'll mess up the reading of your life because you'll read it through a lens as though Jesus' absence means a lack of love. And let's see this from the beginning. Love is the key. Yes, Lazarus was sick. Yes, Jesus wasn't there. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Everything we've walked through, all this about doubt and about discouragement and a delay, it was not a lack of love. The delay was real, but the absence of Jesus was not the absence of His love. He loved them, and as much as it doesn't make sense, He stayed right where He was for a few more days. He loved them, and He let the whole story unfold. He loved them, and then when Lazarus died, He loved them, and He didn't step around their grief. He stepped directly into their grief, into the discouragement, into the doubt, into the despair, into the delay. Friends, here on the Sunday of the Resurrection, there are really only two choices you have for your life. To interpret your life, to interpret the course of your life through your own pain, or to interpret your life through the never-ending love of Jesus. Two choices. You decide. How will you interpret your life? Will you interpret your life through your own pain, or will you interpret your life through the lens of Jesus' faithful love for you? Because if you don't interpret His life through His love, the only thing left is to interpret it through your pain. And it's right there in the middle of that doubt and that delay and that disappointment that Jesus says something that will change everything. He says, I don't bring a solution, I am the solution. I don't bring resurrection, I am the resurrection and the life. See, Jesus doesn't come with a solution. Jesus comes and offers Himself as the solution. I am the resurrection and the life, and everyone who lives believing in Me, though they die, yet will still live. I am your life. He doesn't say, I can fix this. He didn't say, I can make it a little bit better. I can make it where you can hold on a little longer and endure it. I am life itself. The resurrection, y'all, is not an event on a calendar. The resurrection is a person. Which means when Jesus shows up, life itself shows up for you and for your community. So here it is. Jesus now walks past Martha and past Mary, and He walks past the crowds that have gathered, some of them in authentic grief, some of them now hearing that the Master has arrived and just they're there for the show. And so Jesus starts walking, and it's been 4 days, and I don't know if this is just John reporting the facts or if he's trying to inject a little bit of lightness into this difficult story, because Martha says, Jesus, it's been 4 days, there's going to be an odor. I mean, that's like an understatement, right? Maybe that's just a fact. Maybe that's Martha being practical. Martha, even in this moment, it's been 4 days. Lazarus is not like just barely gone. He is dead. And Jesus walks up and He says, roll away the stone. And the people that hear that, they hesitate. Jesus, He's always going too far, right? He's always asking for too much. But this is where Jesus, this is where again, we're looking forward to the resurrection, and we're looking forward to the Lazarus resurrection points us forward to the resurrection. Because when Lazarus is in the tomb, Jesus has to go and say, y'all, roll the stone away. When Jesus comes out of the tomb, nobody rolled the stone away for Him. The power of God was already at work there, y'all. And I want you to know that whatever stone marks the door on what you think is holding you down and holding you back in your own delay or discouragement or doubt, the Father is already breathing the voice of the Spirit. He is already breathing a word to roll away the stone and give you a way. And give you a way to walk out. The stone that held Jesus has already been moved. And so Jesus stands. He stands right here. He stops. He looks up. He prays. Jesus stands in front of the tomb and he calls out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out! Lazarus, come out!" Y'all, I think back again to that football play, to DeMar Hamlin. What those folks on the sidelines, they weren't suddenly after he's out on the ground. Nobody's skimming the book for a better play. Nobody's hoping to redo the drive and make the progress on the field. There's one thing on everybody's mind. This is death or it's life. And when life came back, I guess they picked up and finished the game. I don't remember. But everything else sort of faded, and it was such a shock to us because it was rare. In that moment, you expected death, and the return of life was rare. And y'all, I want to tell you on this Easter, on this Resurrection Sunday morning, that it doesn't have to be rare. The love of Jesus, the power of Jesus, the very real presence of Jesus, it doesn't have to be rare for you. Because just as Jesus walked up to the tomb and said with a loud voice, "Come out, Lazarus, come out," today he's calling you. Today he's speaking your name. And by the power of his Spirit, he's inviting you to come out. He's bringing the life. He's bringing the resurrection. You don't have to gin something up. You don't have to come up with it yourself. But you do have to have ears ready to hear. With that same voice, he's calling your name. So let me ask you this morning, not just as a crowd, not just in the abstract, but as a person. But as a person, where is Jesus calling you to come out? Some of you already believe. You already believe in Jesus. You're trusting Him. You're believing Him. But if you're honest, there may be a place in your life that still feels like a tomb. It's a place you've set aside, you've cut off, a place where you have settled, a place where you've stopped expecting anything to grow or to change. It's an area where you've learned to live with something and in something that Jesus is just calling you out of. He's calling you out of it. For some of you, it's doubt, like Thomas. You're going through the motions, but your expectation, your sense of divine urgency is gone from life. For some of you, it's discouragement. You've been worn down and you're just tired and you're on the edge of shutting down. And for some of you, it's delay. It's delay. The need hasn't been provided. The prayer hasn't been answered. And you've decided quietly. You haven't told anybody, but you've decided quietly that God just isn't going to show up for you. Not now and not this time. So what I want to tell you is Jesus is not asking you. He's not sitting on the sidelines waiting for you to fix something. Waiting for you to roll your own stone away or unwind the bands that are holding you. He's standing with one clear invitation. Come out. Come out. Take a step. Be ready to welcome His presence in a fresh way. Come out of that pattern of behavior. Come out of that mindset. Come out of that place where you've been stuck much longer than you meant to stay. The stone is already moved away. Lazarus is alive. Jesus is alive. And He is here today offering you life. So the question is really simple. What's one step of obedience? Not a thing you do to get Him to call you, but a response to the fact that He is calling you and offering you His life. What's one step of obedience that shows you are receiving that gift of resurrection, of life for Him? What brings you out of the dark into the light again? Not 10 things. Not 5 steps to a better you. But the Holy Spirit, friends, the Holy Spirit who is calling you to come out, He'll touch one thing. And He'll invite you to take one step of faith in obedience. That's for some of you who you know who you are. You've been around church, and maybe this is your first time in a while. And you know it's not just one area of life. It's really your whole life. You know your life doesn't belong to Jesus. And you've tried to sand off an edge here and an edge there, but you know at the heart, He's calling you to real life. And you want a Band-Aid here and a Band-Aid, and you're bleeding out. And He's offering something much bigger than what you think you need. And I want to remind you today, that is the thing you need. That is the thing you need. Maybe you thought, I need to get my life together a little bit more first. Or I need to understand some of this first. I need to read some more of the Bible. I need to be better. But Jesus, hear this, see it. Jesus did not stand in front of the tomb and say, Lazarus, okay, clean yourself up and then come out. Jesus proclaimed faith. Jesus proclaimed life. And it was that life that drew Lazarus out. And He is calling you. He is calling you right now. He is calling you just as you are. Just as you are. It's the same question he was asking Martha. He's asking you. I love it. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Not do you agree with this externally. Not do you admire this. Do you look up to this? Or do you look up to someone who believes this? Do you trust Him? Do you trust Him enough to give you a life that you cannot create for yourself? And if that's you today, you can respond today, not by fixing yourself, but simply by placing your trust in Him. You could say, just in your heart right now, Jesus, I believe that You are life. I trust You. I don't understand You, but I trust You. Call me out and lead me forward. So whether you followed Him for years or whether today marks a new day, a first real step, the invitation is the same. The stone is already moved. The stone is already moved. The question is, will you come out? The stone is rolled away. The question, your question, my question, will you come out? Let's pray together. Kind Father, good and patient Father, thank You that in Jesus You don't just fix what is broken, You bring life where there is death. So today, give us courage to respond to Your voice. Call us out of what holds us and lead us into life. And do not let us settle for anything less. In Your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, when Lazarus walked out of that tomb, he did not walk out of that tomb alone. He walked into a community of men and women who were there to encourage him and grow with him. Maybe this morning as we sing our closing song, you want to take a physical step and have a member of our prayer team or me. I'll be up here with our prayer team. You want somebody to pray with you as you take that first step to come out. A reminder, our prayer team folks will be here after the service or even in the social hall when you go and grab an auspicious and a coffee. Approach somebody there. And we can step over to the side and we can say a quick prayer together, marking the fact that you are saying yes to God. You're saying yes to Jesus' invitation. You today can come out and find the life and the hope that is the resurrection in Jesus. Amen. Amen.